I invite you to turn in your Bibles or in a pew Bible to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 10 through 13. And we have the custom in this congregation to honor the reading of God's word by standing as you're able. Would you stand at this time for the reading of God's word? Daniel chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." God's word for us this fourth Sunday of Advent. Please be seated. Daniel had spent nearly his entire life as a captive in ancient Babylon. He had served many kings. He had served Nebuchadnezzar. He had served Belshazzar and Darius the Mede. And he had distinguished himself as one of the king's three principal governors. Certainly Daniel had exceptional qualities. And some view the presence of the spiritual excellence in Daniel's life as an expression of his godly character. Others, when they looked at Daniel, would see it as a reference to his abilities and his skills as being able to be a wise governmental administrator. Under Daniel's supervision, the king never lost any revenue. Still others see the life of Daniel as the consummation of all we've witnessed in his life and explored these last 3 weeks of Advent, as we have explored how Daniel helps us to celebrate Advent with distinction, with confidence, and with concern. Daniel was just on the verge of being promoted to an even more important position of honor and authority. However, whenever a person is promoted to a position of honor and authority, this invariably attracts resentment and jealousy. And Daniel soon found himself to be the target of those very emotions. There were some lower level government officials who despised Daniel because he now had greater authority than they did. We know that pride is a competitive and envy is the result of wounded pride. The great Christian writer C.S. Lewis once wrote the following, quote, "Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man." We say people are proud of being rich or clever or good looking, but they are not. They are proud of being richer or cleverer or better looking than others. Certainly these proud lower level government officials were wounded by the elevation of Daniel, a man of integrity, and they were looking for grounds on which to accuse him. They couldn't find any fault in Daniel's life, in spite of the fact that he lived for years in an environment that we could call literally a moral cesspool. These officials knew that attacking someone of impeccable character was going to be very difficult, because Daniel had stood firmly for the Lord from the days of his youth, and Daniel resolved that he was still going to be faithful to the Lord, even in his own age. In fact, the only aspect of Daniel's life that his enemies could attack was his devotion to God.
And the only way these conspirators could attack him was to attack again and again his relationship with God, playing on King Darius's pride. The government officials used deception to get what they wanted. They asked him to establish a law that it would make it illegal in the next 30 days to make a petition to any god or man except to King Darius himself. And the penalty for violating this decree was going to be death by lions.
Well, Darius went ahead and he signed that irrevocable decree.
And in the heat of the moment with his ego stroke, he made a real rash decision and approved the law banning prayer to anyone but Darius himself. Well, Daniel was so devoted to God that obedience to God was more important than obedience to an unjust human law. And we also see this principle in the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 29, when the apostle said, "We must obey God rather than men." Daniel disobeyed the unjust law by praying 3 times a day and giving thanks, just as he did from the days of his youth. Daniel knew that the secret of living a pure life in the midst of an impure pagan environment was to have a consistent daily devotional time. And Daniel was unwilling to change or even appear to change in order to secure his new promotion. The fear of being caught having devotions did not deter Daniel. Daniel was willing to accept the consequences of being publicly devoted to God. I think there are 2 important lessons for us this morning. There are 2 things that we need to keep in mind, not just this morning, but as we continue to celebrate Advent. Number 1, we must be willing to accept the consequences for doing the right things. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 reminds us, "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened." And number 2, God is ultimately still in control. Even when we feel that other people have been treating us unfairly, and even when we feel we have been banished to that proverbial lion's den. Well, Daniel was caught, wasn't he? He was caught publicly praying to God. And Daniel was willing to suffer, and he was prepared to glorify God. Darius' response when Daniel's critics turned him in revealed that Darius realized he had exercised poor judgment. Darius was frantically looking for some kind of a legal loophole so Daniel wouldn't have to suffer the consequences of his foolish decree. But there was no way out under that Persian law. Daniel was not just to be thrown under the bus, so to speak, but he was to be thrown into the den of lions. Now, you need to understand, being condemned to being thrown into the lion's den was a particularly form of punishment that would be a very, very harsh death. These lions were prepared. They were starved for days. They were mistreated. These lions were taunted so that when a person was thrown into the lion's den, they would literally be ripped to pieces. Have you ever tried to imagine what actually happened inside the lion's den when Daniel was there with the lions and the den was sealed? You see, Daniel, he may have been peacefully sleeping with the lions, but that conscious, stricken Darius, I'm sure he spent a very different type of night. Worry, guilt, loss of sleep, loss of appetite. These were all the results of Darius's failure to not discern in advance the evil conspiracy of Daniel's critics. And the next morning, the anguished voice of Darius, we notice the profound impact that Daniel's life of devotion had on this man, where he said, according to the scriptures, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" During this Advent season, have your family, friends, or associates witnessed you serving God continually, or busily shopping and decorating continuously. We know, according to the scriptures, that Daniel was not even bruised because he trusted in his God. And Hebrews 11, verse 33, informs us that it wasn't Daniel. It was faith that shut the mouth of those lions. Just as Haman in the book of Esther was hanged on his own gallows, so Daniel's critics were cast into the lion's den, whereby they suffered the same fate that they had intended for Daniel. And although Daniel did practice a life of great devotion, you know, he didn't have an idea of what the outcome would be. Daniel knew God's promises and power, but Daniel didn't have a full understanding of God's plan. He only knew that he wanted to live a devoted life that publicly honored God, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the trial, no matter what the temptation. Daniel also knew that he could never live a life of devotion without prayer. You know, it's been written that God's word is the milk, meat, and bread of life. But what is prayer? There we go. Prayer is the breath. Each of us can live a long period of time without consuming more food, but we can't survive more than a few minutes without breath. That is how important that prayer is. During Advent, during these closing days before Christmas, are we giving prayer the type of priority in our lives that Daniel gave in his life? You know, I think in many ways, if you are very observant, you will know that we are living in a Babylonian-like world today. We are surrounded on the world scene by an ever-changing, morally ambiguous, deeply troubled, and constantly deteriorating culture. Yet, it is in this type of a world that I believe we are still called to be devoted Daniels during Advent. We can choose to either be poured into the mold of our culture, or like Daniel, we can use the darkness around us as an opportunity to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ this Advent season. As we live in each day, Daniel's obedient life of distinction, confidence, concern, and devotion provide wonderful examples for us as we celebrate Advent together. The choice is ours. How will we choose to serve the Lord in these remaining days of Advent? We are now going to transition